Welcome and thanks for listening. Here at Oddcast, we are very grateful to live and record in the beautiful Pacific Northwest on the current ancestral and unceded territories of the Musqueam, Tsleil-Waututh, and Squamish peoples. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Only Wizards in the Dungeon podcast and the Agency Archives. Back in the wonderful universe of Whoville, where nothing bad happens, and it's Christmas all the time. Yeah, that's what it is. I'm your friendly neighborhood Skirts. Outside of this little pocket dimension of reality, I am Cav. But for this experience, I am Skirts.
Mission doesn't end soon. It will be Christmas all the time. Good thing I didn't take down the Christmas lights. The ornaments.
Skirts would like you to know that Cav came up with this and had a brilliant inspiration to make this Call of Cthulhu Whoville experience, and then realized that he may have gone overboard on just the death of Lauren.
It happens. The lore.
Season two.
You're already
2027.
It's Loring. It's okay.
You know what? And that'll lead to my fun fact. But let's introduce everyone on the table first. Before we get to me. Let's go to my right.
Introduce yourself.
And
I'm not prepared for this.
Your agent, who you are.
I'm Gray. I play Agent Umber, who is operating as Purdy Who Bunkins. I'm a post worker, student, super genius, I like to think. But I'm also, what did you say, budget Sailor Moon?
Yeah, you're like budget Sailor Moon or like budget Galinda.
I guess now I've got peppermint locks.
Yeah.
And I've got a little book of whatever, like book of jokes or something. Christmas puns.
That's what it is.
And no, yeah. it's a book of stories, Christmas stories.
Mm-hmm. Is
I guess fairy tales.
I
assume they're all Christmas themed. Yes. I haven't actually read it. I'm afraid to open it because every time I do something,
it's like 4th of July.
Something bizarre happens.
That's true.
But I can do all sorts of crazy magic. I'm still learning. But so far it seems to be helpful and then also semi-harmful because it causes me insanity.
Yeah, if you you get two options. First, you have your daily what you want for Christmas kind of magical MacGuffin thing, which doesn't always cause you sanity loss if you roll it well enough. But then you can choose to read deeper. Mm. And if you read deeper past the stories, you can do more powerful magic with a much higher sanity risk.
And then my fun fact is... I may have already used this in the past.
What?
I'm doing more electrical work in my house.
Yes,
remember I told you I got shocked?
You did get shocked.
Okay, I haven't got shocked this time. so that's a positive. But I forget every time I open, like our building was it's a heritage building and it was converted in like the 90s, mid 90s.
Yeah.
And then it's been renovated a couple times since, but every time I open the walls or like look at anything that's not the surface, I just like I'm perplexed at like how like what they did to like break it all together. And then also our breaker panel is like installed upside down and mislabeled, so it's like literally that's how I shocked myself the first time. I thought I was like, this is perfect, the lights are, I'm clear. Nope, not at all. I shocked myself real bad and freaked myself out. And then, so now I have to turn off everything, which is hilarious because as I'm like changing all these light switches and lights, ceiling lights and everything.
What exactly are you trying to do?
So let me explain. So at first I started with bulbs. I was like, I'm going to turn all the bulbs in our bedroom into like color changing
like
bulbs.
Like LED bulbs.
Yeah, so that they dim it in the evening. They can like rise during the day, follow the sunset, and then go red at night so the cats get all calm and
it's
like it doesn't fuck with my sleep. The whole thing. So then I'm like, because I'm all up on that red light. So then I'm like, okay, but that's nice, but like, can I do it elsewhere? Like maybe there's more ambiance. And then I was like, I'll do the ones in the living room there and create like a cool, you know. And then I was like, because there's a cool light fixture. And then I was like, oh, you know, I might as well just do all these pot lights too. And so then I started fucking pulling the pot lights out. I'm like, oh, they're 4-inch holes. The ones I need in the ceiling are, are four or 6 inches. So I got to like make the hole bigger. Okay, no big deal. I'll put a hole saw inside my, I'll buy a 4-inch hole saw. I'll put it inside my 6-inch hole saw. That'll like guide it. So I go up there. I try to do it. I realize, oh, some of them are 4-inch holes and some of them are 4.5-inch holes. So there's no rhyme. I don't know when they fucking decided. So now I'm like up there trying to guide this and there's like a healthy like 1/2-inch margin. And I'm like, if I just hold it really steady, it'll be fine. Right. So I hold it really steady immediately. It just like cuts the fuck out of my ceiling. I'm like, oh God, I hope that the shroud like on the outside, like covers the crimes when I go. Yeah. So I'm like, I bet I definitely should order a 4-inch hole saw or 4.5-inch before I do this anymore. And then I was like, fuck, I got a second wind like later in the evening. And I was like, I'm just, I can do it again if I hold it steadier. So you know, hold it even steadier. So I did that. I totally fucked it. I just so I stopped and then I got the 4.5-incher and then I was like, oh, this is perfect. I'm doing it. I'm doing it. I'm like on a roll. And then like I start rigging them and I realized like, oh shit, like this stuff is like poorly installed, like some of the wiring was just so, and none of it's labeled and it's all like jerry rigged. And it's just like, I was like, man, I'm happy
this
I went in there.
This is like the classic, the husband was like, I can fix this myself situation.
And also, so I'm on the Strata Council, right? So I would never allow anybody else to do this. And my advice to anybody else is hire our approved contractor because you're not allowed to do any electrical yourself in a condo.
Meanwhile, especially given that it's like a heritage building. So you're running up with, you're bumping up against the fact that like already often buildings are developed and they have weird construction choices.
It's been retrofitted like 4 times. It's like, like the daisy chaining off of something else. And then you're like, what the fuck is this actually connected to originally?
It's like the ship. What's the ship called? Like the,
oh, the
Theseus?
No. Theseus. Ship, it's like is it the same ship? Yeah. Like, so that's exactly what it's like. And I have to like sit there and I'm literally losing my mind sometimes. Like, and I don't have a multimeter. I had one, but I can't find it. So, or like a voltometer. So I can't actually measure the live wires. I have to go down, turn them off. Like, I have to do that thing. Like, you know, that riddle where it's like, there's a light in the basement. There's 3 lights or whatever. You know, how can you like figure out which light switch goes to what, but the light switch is at the top of the stairs and like, what's the whole thing? I literally have to run up and down the stairs and go like, did that turn on? I like do all the work and my fingers are all cracked and peeling. The cats we can't do anything. We can't do laundry. We can't do like, I can't charge anything. We can't do fucking use the dishwasher. We can't watch television. None of, and also I'm running out of daylight, right? Yeah, so like now the days have gotten longer.
At least it's not as boring as Utah. So, you know what I'm saying?
Anyway,
exactly. It's an eventful evening.
But like, it's terrible. I always bite off more than I could chew. Okay, that was probably one of those.
One of these is going.
But I always find that, I'll wrap this up, but I always find that I'm thinking like, oh, I can fix, that's only like 1 or 2 more hours. I can get that done in like an hour. It's easy to, and then I'm like sitting, I found myself sitting in the dark, like at like 10 PM, or 11, like, still trying to fucking solve this. Like, does this wire, is this going to be the one? Does this actually do, how is this set up? It's terrible.
Oh my God.
It's brutal. Like today I changed a light switch. And then all the sockets in the room next door stopped working.
Oh, no.
And I'm like, what did I do?
I think it's time to call. I changed 2 wires.
Oh, my God. I'm losing my mind.
Well, with that, let's go to our next player. To the left of you.
I'll happily do anybody's electrical.
To the right of you, please introduce yourself and your agent and who you're playing.
My name is Will, and I'm playing Gumball Yellow. That AKA Gumbash Yellow. Yeah, and who is playing, you know, it's like Inception, who is playing Sister Valerie Wu, our older aged, hot, big mom. Well, she's not hot, she's like 4 out of 10, but like relatively hot. I don't know.
That's like
Utah,
like,
standards.
That's
hot.
The definition of not hot. That's like below average.
Yeah,
I'm sorry, Utah people. I really don't mean it this way. I feel like I do. I don't know. Anyway, but anyway, hot priest, like hot monk, not monk. She's not a monk. Who is she? She's a priestess.
Monk? She's a monk. She's a nun. That's just a woman monk, right?
Yeah, a woman monk.
A woman monk. You know, she's like Whoopi Goldberg. She's like Whoopi Goldberg. She's Whoopi Goldberg in that one movie, you know?
The Sister Act.
Yeah, there was at least two.
Sister Act 2. Yeah, she's Whoopi Goldberg in the Sister Act 2.
Sister Act 2. No one.
When she's got her legs.
Yeah. And my fun fact, you know what? Okay, since we're talking about Christmas, so here's the thing. when I used to live in Ukraine, Christmas and Halloween were like this big thing that people talked about.
Same
thing. No. People would like watch it in like American, you know, movies and television. Yeah. It's like, well, that's fun, but like would never really like, like we would kind of do stuff, but like it wasn't the same, right? So everyone like idealized. They always idolized those like holidays in here. And then when I moved here, it's just such a capitalist freaking hellhole. It's like, I don't know. It's like the advertising.
I know.
It's just so soulless.
Even when I watch those those movies and stuff, I think, oh my God, that's an amazing childhood. And then I think back and I go, well, that... I was just basically eating. I was like eating Reese's. I was like, we were just like stealing candy from each other. Like, no, those are the ones I want, and this and that. Yeah, and you were just stressed about your costume not being, you know, good or cool enough or like whatever.
Literally, and it's just, I don't know. It's very like existentialist when you're like, because I know some of my friends love Christmas. They're like every day of December they watch like a Christmas movie or they like prep for Halloween for months, which is great. Yeah. I feel like Halloween is a little more genuine because like, yes, sure, there's like always spirit Halloween crap, but like a lot of people just kind of like I don't know, they make their own costume. It's really about kind of like socializing. Christmas, apart from family stuff, on Christmas itself, like the 25 days before that is just like advertising, capitalism, like marketing, get this, get that. Boxing Day, should we delay Christmas and celebrate it on like the 27th so we can do Boxing Day and buy the gifts, you know, min-maxing, like budgeting, whatever, I don't know.
Fair, that's actually fair.
And it's just like a lot, and I'm like, Christmas is disappointing. I'm trying to get that Christmas, the real Christmas from moving, you know?
I feel you. But then we try to do it the old school. We actually go out, we like pick it, we like, I saw down a tree.
Goat.
We do this whole thing where we fucking, because we're trying to keep the spirit alive. We're trying to, you know, I'm losing my mind. I'm like, I'm brewing pine needle tea.
Okay, I don't need,
and I'm losing my mind. I'm turning into a tree.
To try to
keep the spirit alive.
I do not need,
life.
Real trees were such a hassle. Like, first of all, it get nasty with all the little needles falling. Also, like, you need to put it in the sand.
Believe me, I know.
Get a bucket of sand.
Sand?
Yeah, we would put it in the sand.
What are you fucking talking about?
We would put the Christmas tree in, like, a bucket filled with sand so it like stays. How do you guys do it?
Water, but
you have
a special...
like a tree stand.
Yeah,
but I've never.
Girl, Ukraine is budget. You need to think about this from Ukrainian perspective.
No, but you're technology. No, what you're saying is that like everyone just has access to sand, right? So
yeah, you would go. No, have you access. Would. Yes,
if you try to steal sand from the beach, they literally
you buy a tree and they give you a bucket with sand.
Find a lazy bend in a creek somewhere in like a green belt.
I guess.
Yeah, I'm guessing you could get sand and rocks and everything as well, but you can also just buy a tree stand that's like reusable.
Once
and then you
again,
don't have to store the sand.
This is some like 22nd century kind of tech, okay?
Isn't there something like especially not slightly now. Off base about like trying to rebel against the like empty capitalistness of Christmas by mimicking the Hallmark ideal, which is created as artificial to sell us on the empty capitalist thing?
I'm sorry, I tuned out.
That's Christmas. Basically the plot of The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, which is all about how gift giving and consumerism is bad. And you need to go connect back with your roots and your family.
Yeah,
I'm here to endorse Halloween.
I like the Christmas tree thing because obviously I love people growing trees. I think that's awesome.
Do you?
And, yeah, I do. I think that like growing trees is and having a like good. Sustaining that, like being able to like actually have people go out and have a tree farm and sustain it. I'm all for that. I don't like plastic trees because they end up actually in landfills within like 2 years. Like they have such a short life cycle. Usually they fall apart.
That's awful.
Yeah, they just like, so people aren't actually reusing these trees. They buy them and then they like,
I just use my
same plastic trees since I like initially moved out.
Fantastic. There. Good for you.
The first year I was with my wife, she asked why I hadn't put the tree up and said it was sad. So she came home from work, and I had propped its cardboard box up on one end and stuck a sign to it that said, "Don't judge me."
This is the tree.
I propped it up, right?
I feel like if I lived in like a house with a yard and had a vehicle for transporting a physical tree, it'd be a fun ritual. Mm-hmm. I think in the city, it's always a pain in the ass to deal with like real trees.
Yeah, you can't really have them. Again, just... break the rules.
I mean, it's not even the rules. It's like transporting
you trying to get a fucking tree into the building, into this building, through all your gates and doors. And
I can't.
Up the right the right elevators that you can be on. And then bending through all those narrow
corridors. I don't think
it's possible.
No. And then show your contempt for the rules by what, like, the end of the year, once it's really, like, dry and dead. Light it on fire and throw it off
the balcony. When we started this part, I talked about us having to literally smuggle the tree in. Remember this?
Calf can get a little person tree. You know, it's like a small tree there. Yeah, that way it's not hard to, like,
move. Why is it a little person tree?
It's regular tree, but small.
It's big for little people.
I think they're called Charlie Brown trees.
That's just like a sparse tree.
Just a short tree. We're talking about a little person tree. Got you know, it's different.
Charlie Brown tree has to do with the number and distribution of branches, I think.
It's got little tufts on it more than actual full pine. It almost looks like a sad branch.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywho.
Anyways, I guess to our next player then, before we continue speaking about Christmas, because I know random Christmas facts. But please introduce yourself and who you're playing and your agent name.
I'm Graham. I'm playing Agent Periwinkle, who is Sandra Sulu, who is a not very high-ranking police officer.
Yes.
She was our kind of brawler character until she got stabbed,
big knife wounds in the shoulder.
And I kind of crunkly threw her into every combat because I've never been the, like, melee combat person before. And she got a little bit fucked up, and now she's injured. So that's
the one you game where you should. I feel like this is the one RPG where you should not just throw people in, and you're like, "Let's do this one."
It's like your first time playing Pathfinder, and it's like, "But what do you mean permanent ability damage?"
Yeah. There's stuff that can happen.
Well, just assumed that they can't die. They've got like triple overshields, or like they're invincible. Knives can't penetrate them, right?
Yeah.
Well, that was in your character sheet, no?
Well, I assumed that being like a good couple of paces away with a handgun, the knife wasn't that much of a threat, but I rolled bad, so.
Unfortunately, yeah. Yeah, they didn't get knocked unconscious by the horrible gunshot wound in the shoulder or by like the other people fighting.
Or in the other little conflict, I hit them just fine, but they were made out of cheesecake. Why does my brain want to say cheesecake?
Fruitcake. Yes, you did, and they were still somehow alive.
That was great.
That was fun. Yeah, you fed them to Hoobies. My fun fact is two little fun facts. One is going to be just...
Your fun fact?
No. It's two. It's a little bit of a PSA that are kind of a PSA that we're just kind of releasing episodes as we want for fun and to enjoy this whole process of podcast stuff. But I'm going to be trying to take some of the agency missions and post them online, either in, like, as little adventure books that I can get some feedback on from different people. So if anyone does listen and sees a post randomly on a Discord for something like that, or other channels or other avenues, just keep an eye out. We'll be trying to release some like content you could use in a game if you want to play in Call of Cthulhu Whoville. In your own little adventure here, that will hopefully be something I'm putting together, as well as the random spells, a little bit of a social media random spells thing. Mm-hmm. So there's some stuff in the works. The other fact,
so you could play, you could play and enjoy these
either as these characters, or you could be your own. You know, it's going to be agnostic to whatever you want to play. So you don't have to even play Sandra Sulu. You can just play other people, and these characters will be in the setting.
I'll tell you, Sandra Sulu is fun to play.
Yeah. They'll be there. They'll be around. Sister Valerie.
Just roll better and you'll be fine.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. The other fun fact for people who are just like maybe haven't listened to or played a lot of Call of Cthulhu, because D&D takes up so much of the cultural sort of headspace, Call of Cthulhu is the most popular RPG in Asia. It is, in fact, the...
For real?
Yeah. It is the most popular tabletop RPG in Japan. And in mainland China, there is a whole thing that is kind of crazy. The story of this is that essentially in Japan, at least, and then through that into China, Call of Cthulhu was translated by a third party into Japanese. And it's one of the few like tabletop role-playing games that had a Japanese translation that was done there. Then after it was translated, there was a little anime that came out called, actually, I can look this up, but it's, I believe it's called Nyarko. It's got a name, Nyarko anime.
Narcos? Like Narcos Mexico?
It's called Nyarko Crawling with Love. And it was a comedy anime series in which a boy is pursued by a cadre of multiple women and then one boy who are actually all elder gods from the Cthulhu mythos or beings from that.
So wait, so they're like elder gods, but they look girls. Like 10, 12, like 15
They look
old
like girls. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Makes sense.
I've watched it with Jonathan. There's the main one is Nyarko-san, and Nyarko-san is like Nyarlathotep, and she's just trying to hook up with this boy who keeps rejecting her. But it became so popular in Japan that therefore Lovecraft got popular. And then because Lovecraft got popular, Call of Cthulhu became popular in Japan for roleplay.
So it's basically insane. Lovecraft Tenchi Muyo.
In a way, but then the thing is the Lovecraft, tabletop game is very brutal and it's a lot more like horror and people die.
Yeah.
So that has also caused the TTRPG scene in Japan and also in China and Asia to shift to being one shots and shorter experiences. So people don't really play long campaigns like they do in the West with like fantasy sort of stories. They tend to go and play like one character for a couple sessions and then they move on and play a different
but how
adventure.
Do you, I feel like it's hard. I mean, literally me being like, how do you do that was us doing it here. But like, yeah. But like, it's hard to, I feel like we're like doing something unique here, but I feel like for a lot of people, it's, I don't know. I wish you could just, you know, sit down and play RPG games. Kind of like you would play like a board game, you know, like yeah. It's just like 2 hours, you like open it, close it. It's like all kind of like
yeah.
An experience, but no, it's like way more than that. But it would be fun if we could like find a way to like translate yeah. That to
like we've kind of done that with our arcs here, you know, like we've done shorter arcs like the
that's
princess.
True.
One,
but true.
Not this one.
This one's longer.
So it's not a good example.
You know,
of that,
it's longer partially because we had different characters coming in and out. And then
true. There's
a lot of just places to look at because Call of Cthulhu, if you aren't making it kind of a more railroading experience, you have to do a lot of clues. So you've pursued, like, I basically gave you 7 things to follow and you've found like 3.
Jesus.
And you don't have to do them all, but like, it's just a process of like,
we're still in the process of finding the other 4.
I was thinking about this earlier. I was like, we feel like we're getting towards the end of something here, but like, what about the pantries? When's the last time we even discussed that? What about these murders? Like,
yeah. Underground, yeah.
Yeah, what happened? Why is like the whole point thing with Purdy's dad that is still like, we don't know what that's about.
At one point, we were going to go back to the police station and try and steal more shit from my boss and like...
Yeah. So a lot's happened.
Well, we gotta like get out of the fucking the woodcutter's lodge before we can go and do any of those things.
We still, as they say, are not out of the woods.
Yes. So there's my little fun facts, my 2 fun facts.
Awesome.
And with that, I guess I'll give a quick little recap as to what happened last time. Last time was relatively straightforward. You were still at Robbie's Christmas tree farm, but he had gone out to go and get the demonstration essentially ready for you. While waiting, you decided to explore a little bit of the house. You walked through a kitchen, which had a sort of pot on the stove that was bubbling or steaming with a lid on it. And after sort of checking that out and looking out the back door to see what Rob may be doing, you found a bedroom, and in that bedroom there was the desiccated, rotted body of a dog with its bones having been removed. Sister Valerie then investigated the boiling pot, and after removing the lid, was attacked by a puppet of sorts made out of sinew of pine bark and the bones of said dog, which were from the other room. After essentially getting it off of Valerie's face and ripping out its pine cone heart, you then put that in your pocket and proceeded to go upstairs to see if anything was in the house on the second level. Opening the door to the master bedroom, you saw another pine puppet with pieces of bone used to construct it. And this figure appeared to have a more feminine persona, wearing a dress. You held them down with a blanket, sneaking into the room, and after holding it down, Purdy heard the figure speak to them and ask them what they were doing and introduce themselves as wife. to everyone else, the sound coming out of the creature's mouth was simply splintering wood and grinding bone. Purdy learned that maybe this figure was made by Robbie in a moment of despair, and that the wife was probably no longer with you, or the real wife was no longer with you. There was one room that had been basically boarded up. It was locked and had multiple locks on it, and you didn't go into that room, instead going back downstairs. Once you went downstairs, Robbie came back into the building, and you proceeded to have another conversation with him. He told you to go outside and come to the barn so that you could partake in the demonstration for his special trees, and you followed him outside into the darkness, going to the lit barn in the woods. That is where we will begin. So Robbie's basically going to walk you down a path. The light of the house lights up this sort of path beside it and then goes to a large red barn. As you get to the door of the barn, he sort of looks back at you and goes, okay, just wait right here. I'm gonna go for 5 seconds. And he just like, wait one second. And he kind of opens up the barn door, looks inside.
Oh, hell no. Hold on. Yeah. Okay, so he peeks.
He's like peeking. He goes, okay, great. Okay, come on in to the greatest experience of wood you'd ever have in your whole life.
Okay, yeah. And then this is the same barn that we saw something.
Like you saw shadow, he was speaking like, to like that humanoid figure.
Yeah. Okay. Do we come in?
It's the sun we think is out there in the barn.
Well, right? Sun is whatever. The quote unquote sun. Yeah,
can we see it? Can we see the sun?
No, we don't see anyone in there right away. Basically, he opens the barn door and announces that this is the greatest experience.
But it's dark in there. You can't see anything.
No, it's lit up. It's not super well lit up. It's like a central sort of hanging light that kind of sways a little bit. And there's an upper level to this barn that is darkly. It's basically in darkness. It doesn't have enough lighting to see well in it. Just cluttered with random tools and things that are up on top. And on the bottom, there's like a series of tables that have writing documents, a map basically sprawled across it. And then he's got this sort of lit area where you can watch the demonstration, supposedly. There's a few rickety looking chairs he's arranged that for you to sit in. And he's got some tools that are basically like wood axes, a chainsaw, things that are just up against a wall on the other side, seemingly that he could use to cut the trees. And he says, go on in. The chairs are sit there, and I'll get you I'll bring in the first tree. So this whole experience is multiple parts. The first is how to understand wood. And then the second is what makes a good tree. And then the third is how you cut the tree. And then the fourth, you get to go out into the woods and cut your own tree.
Well, isn't this lovely? I could see myself having a wedding here at some point.
Oh.
So pretty and quaint. Wow.
Really? I haven't cleaned it in. But I could just clean it up. How much would you pay for a wedding? And would you want a tree with the wedding?
Well, I think I was thinking maybe it would be something that you might provide just to, free of charge to bring more awareness to the tree business, you know? Something you could offer?
Tree marriages?
Tree.
Sure.
Well, you wouldn't be marrying the tree now. No, you would be marrying
in front of a tree.
No one would ever have a relationship with a tree.
No, because that's inanimate.
Yeah, he winks real hard. Inanimate. Real, yeah.
Well, you're winking at me, but do you
know?
Well,
you know what I'm talking
but
about.
But you know what that.
Tree marriages. You mentioned it. We're on the same page.
But are you? I'm not quite sure that you know what that word inanimate means.
Many of our patrons at our church actually are, you know, they're tree lovers too.
Yeah, exactly. Oh,
totally normal.
You get the church.
Well, they're lovers. Oh, wow. They're lovers of trees. They're not tree lovers.
Whether or not he necessarily understands Purdy, I think it is worth noting that the potential tree wife we did encounter was hardly inanimate.
Do you say that out loud?
Wait. Do you say that out loud?
Or you whisper it?
I assume I whisper it.
Okay, you whisper it.
Yeah. Well, What I mean to say is, trees, they don't move, you know, they don't have feelings, and they don't speak or they can't love you back, you know? You know what I'm saying?
No, it'll never be a
But two humans could have a wedding here. Yeah, uh-huh. and then they could possibly buy a tree as a wedding gift.
Yeah, because who wouldn't want a tree as a wedding gift? You know who every other gift is just less.
They could plant it in their yard.
Or in their house, and they could decorate it.
I'd attract one of those baby storks.
Oh.
Looking for a place to rest and maybe drop down its little bundle.
Oh, yeah. We could get the floating babies in the tree. That'd be great. A new type of tree. I could breed a new type of baby catching tree.
A baby catching tree. A baby catcher. Big arms, just
have
big
you ever
nuts.
Considered working in the tree business?
Well, I will say when I was first picking my major for
did
university,
you choose Christmas tree?
I had no interest whatsoever in trees. Oh. But now to hear you talk about it, I think maybe I missed. I could have taken a minor in arbory.
I was a major in Christmas trees, and I gotta tell you.
Best decision you ever made. I
don't regret it at all. But you know, there's different.
All right, well, should we walk in then? Should we just? You want us to sit here?
Yeah, you sit in. Right. And I've got a special tree. I'm gonna bring out. I'm gonna show you how to like identify a tree, and then
how to identify a tree.
Identify a tree?
Yeah, like the good tree.
All right, because there are
bad trees,
different qualities.
Good trees.
There's some real sexy trees out there. Some less sexy trees. Not that that's like a. I mean, you know what I mean.
Right, no, I know what you mean. Like you could appreciate a
this curve of a brow, of a branch.
The curve.
Well, like maybe like a it's a beautiful house, or that's a sexy car. Right, or
those
something.
Needles look comfy.
I'm trying to help you here.
Exactly. So you just sit down.
Are you into palm trees or how do you?
He spits on the ground. Palm trees are horrible.
Has anybody ever thought about like somebody who grows up in a tropical place? Like, what tree do they draw when they go to class and then the teacher says draw a Christmas
coconut tree?
I never thought about this.
Do they just, is it like you just but like, you really watch all those TV, you know, movies grow up, you're like, yeah, it's like, a Christmas tree.
In Mexico, they just bring in trees from North America that are pine trees.
Well, here we go. They import them.
Yeah, imported.
Wait, so if he likes pine trees, but he hates palm trees, is that like a weird tree race, like xenophobia? Like,
I mean, I guess. He's very Christmas tree oriented.
That's, you know what, that's
you're bringing everything
a
back
man
to
loves
race,
what
aren't
he loves,
you?
You know what I'm saying?
Everything through that lens.
Palm trees often actually just very large ferns.
Yeah, kind of in a way.
Okay, here's you guys just way there.
And you see that he basically lets you sit down if you wish. You can just stand by the chairs. You don't have to actually sit in them. He then goes outside and proceeds to basically takes an axe. You see he goes out to basically choose a tree to give you an example.
Okay.
There's a little stand that he's put in front of the chairs so that he could put the tree there to show it to you after he's cut it. And then as you're in there, you're going to have a little bit of time alone. So you can see the wall of tools. Behind you is the sort of desk filled with just random, it looks like paper and other sort of documents. Maybe it looks like a map is on that table. And then there's the section above. So is there anything you want to do while he goes?
So before we move on investigating, can you just describe what makes a sexy tree?
I'll do it in his voice.
Okay. So what you do is you choose a tree with a nice thick, you know, like base. It's got to have a
girthy
thick,
base.
Thick trunk. Because then the boughs will hold weight.
But do you want is it just the base that needs to be thick, or should it be thick from root to tip?
It should be thick and then taper to a nice point, and then the boughs should bend, curve, like a beautiful curve, you know, a rounded shape
right,
that bounces when you put the ornaments on it.
It should also flex.
Like a cup, like a cupping,
yeah,
sort,
like
of,
a cupping sort of like motion and shape. And then it's got to have thick enough branches.
Bell shape.
But the branches and the branches have to split. So, you know, as many heads of the branch you can get is really important because you need to have lots of places for, again, ornaments and things like that. And then you just get there, you've got to have a nice twist to it. So it's got to have a bit of a twist with the branches so you get, you can have a nice, like, flow of all the different things. Yeah.
What about a bald spot on the back? Is that
some people love the bald spot, but I'm more of a Fuller Tree kind of guy.
You want to fall all the way around?
I want to be able to touch the tree from the bottom to the top. Just caress it as you go around following the curves of the branches. And if I hit a bald spot, it's a little of a letdown. It's just like, I was like, you know?
You're very particular.
That's why I'm the best Christmas tree farm in the business. Mm-hmm. The only one here, but the best one. And that's why. I got investors.
Hard to argue that logic. Yeah.
So I just keep talking to this
no, no, no.
You guys disperse.
Yeah. We're going to investigate
and find that stupid, like, kid. I'm not... You know,
yeah, fair. So yeah. Do you wanna like investigate, because it's the upper level, and then there's also the things on the wall or like the documents that you can.
Now show me what makes a bush a tree.
Okay. He brings you a diagram and starts talking.
I feel like I should investigate the upstairs and you should look at the things down here because you have better like reading things.
Yeah.
What's the skill check for that? Reading things.
Accounting.
What are you going to read?
Appraise.
Sure, account.
Anthropology,
15, okay.
Archaeology, history, law.
Girl, my anthropology's one.
I would be so surprised.
It's fair.
I'd be surprised if anything was labeled 50. Here.
Yeah, it's real messy.
My psychoanalysis. Not really.
Your psychoanalysis tells you that this man has an unhealthy attraction to trees. You don't have to roll for that.
I'm gonna investigate the on the wall stuff, basically.
Okay.
Sure.
You go
first. I'm really curious. Like, I want to know what's upstairs. Okay. I need
exactly.
to know.
I have a psychoanalysis of one.
Grayson, shut the fuck up. I need to know what's upstairs. Let the man do his thing.
All right. So Sandra's gonna go upstairs.
Now do a stealth because you're going to have to basically go, you're going a little bit more off in a more like out of the way place versus just like looking at the desk. You're going kind of into the back of the barn and then having to go up some ladder.
Oh, I super failed my stealth.
Okay. So there'll be kind of like, I'll roll a spot hidden for him, but he's going to have a penalty die because he's distracted by someone who actually wants to know about trees.
And he's also making himself horny by talking about this.
Yeah, very true. Dice roller. Okay, so let's just see if he gets a failure as well, then it will be like a...
The difference between a soft wood and a hard wood.
Yeah, exactly.
A real good pine is just, it's got enough stiffness.
Okay, so they get a success. So you're going to get seen and noticed, but that... means that basically how this will work is that Valerie, since you can go there pretty easily, just like it looks like you're just barely, you're paying attention, but you're looking around. But in reality, you've walked a little bit over to the desk,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
So he's like, you're still within range to hear him. So he doesn't think of you as doing anything strange. And he's so obsessed that he's not going to like pay attention right away until you actually maybe start picking up documents. Just from a general like scan, as you're looking through like the desk area, you notice a few things of note. One, you notice a like schedule that is like a sort of planting and like maintenance mm-hmm. schedule for the farm, and it's mm-hmm. like it shows different sections of trees. So you can't look at the details of it, but it just like shows like where he's like gone to essentially do maintenance and like plant or water trees and stuff. So he seems to have a schedule that he does that for. And there's more information there if you could look at it more closely. There's a map on the table that is just of the farm. And so there's kind of like, you can't see
the farm and its like area around.
Yeah.
It.
It's kind of like the arrangement of
that
the,
actually.
Yeah. It's like the arrangement of the trees and how they were planted originally.
Yeah.
And then there's also some like, basically scratchy little notes that are kind of written down that would have to be picked up and taken to read them in detail, as well as just like general like maintenance slash tree information, which is more like there's a book of like general tree arborist like guide for like health, yeah. keeping the trees healthy, things like that. Survival He's got some tools in there.
For yeah. trees.
Survival guide for trees. But there's that map, which you could take
if
you
want. I do kind of want to take it, yeah. Okay.
So the schedule is pinned up, but the map you could just try to take off the table, which would just be a, I guess it'd be stealth in this case too, or another skill that would be kind of related to sleight of hand. There may be a sleight of hand, actually. I don't know.
Hold on. There is sleight of hand, but it's even worse than stealth, to be honest. Yeah. Oof, you know, maybe I will fail no matter what. Like, I literally will fail if I do it, so I guess I don't want to pick it up. Yeah. I'm just, like, making sure I don't have anything. Yeah, no. I can't pick it up.
Yeah. You could,
can
you
I
could
read,
call,
like, the notes?
You could call his attention to it, or you could... the notes is kind of scratched in a little notebook. Just... briefly looking at them because you'd have to arrange them because they're all messy. The first one on top, it's a note of to-dos, and it just says water the tree, yeah. And then it says call, and then it doesn't just say investor, it says call Audrey Bazoo.
Okay, well,
someone you don't know.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I will take a note of all of that, but I don't want to like distract the tree man because I know that we have Sandra still kind of going off, and I want him to ramble as long as he does.
Yeah,
I might even like later try to like ask him some weird like misleading questions just for him to like sure. keep going. But anyway.
Sandra, you begin to go towards the back, and as you're going towards the back, you see he kind of notices you, so he stops as he's describing the voluptuous curves of this special pine tree, and he's like,
Oh wait, no. I already got the live demonstration tree yet. I gotta show you. This is just a diagram. I can get you a way better tree. I know some people are not all about trees and they're like all the technical jargon, but I can tell you when I physically get your hand on a thick trunk, you're gonna love it.
What? Yeah, I mean, my character sheet says that I'm very much the outdoorsy type, so you know I love putting my hands on thick trunks, but I was just really interested in the carpentry of this building and the way the stairs back here were made. I wanted to take a look at them. But if there's something else you want to show us, let's go have a look.
Okay. Wait right here. Sit down. Sit down.
I assume, do you go follow or do you just like hover?
I'm going to hover.
Okay.
Okay. I'll be fast. Just wait.
And he goes outside of the barn to basically with an axe to go and get you his live demonstration tree. You now have this moment to actually do like more investigatory things that without him paying attention. So if you want to continue reading what's on the desk or whatever, that's also an option.
Pick that shit up, girl.
Yeah, no, I'm grabbing all this with my grabby hands, my religiously grabby hands. You know?
You grab a bunch of notes.
You're grabbing notes, not children.
Yeah. So you're grabbing all the notes. The notes that you're
religiously
picking up.
Trees.
Yeah.
The notes that you're picking up mention Audrey that you mentioned see on the first one, but it's not like listed or discussed as maybe like an investor person. It's just a someone to call. And then there is, however, listed shipment from investor. And then there's a representative for the investor. And the representative is a person that goes by the name of Mavis. So it's like Mavis from, and then the investor asked me to do some additional work around the tree to sort of general like maintenance information. He's basically doing to-do lists. And the to-do lists
around the tree... Which tree?
Like he just says the tree, and you're noticing this a lot in his
tree.
Notes.
It's like, always the fucking yeah. It's the tree.
Are they teaching the tree to type?
Who knows? The to-do list often is like do a couple things around the farm, call Audrey sometimes, and then like Mavis told me to do this. So Mavis says to do this, or Mavis requested the following. Do this, you know.
Oh my God, wait, I have an idea. Okay. I got enough. Yeah. Okay. No,
that's kind of like it's him organizing his thoughts and trying to figure out what to do every day.
I see.
It's all over the place. There's no dates to these. There's no understanding of when this was done. This could have been done way before. It could have been done yesterday.
Yeah. But it's all unclear. Okay. Wait, who's good at improv here? I mean, persuasion, I have 68. That's pretty,
pretty good.
Second analysis is 85. That's
pretty, yeah. Fast talk is like more pure improv where you're just like coming up with stuff on the stuff.
Fast talk.
Is it, your persuade is what?
Oh, fast talk is 5, girl. My persuade is 68.
Jeez, yeah. Mine's but fast 13. Talk
is like if you're under pressure. So like you could speak to someone.
Because I think if I create a story, like I plan it out, right?
Yeah.
I could, I think it's more persuasion. If I like, I have a time to like think
if
about it.
If you just do it in the spot.
No. I'm thinking about, I have a plan kind of like building in my brain, but I will let you go up if you want to go up.
Yeah.
The only other thing you see is when you grab the map, you notice that the map has different arrangements for tree layouts. And a lot of these tree layouts are like old. That you can tell this map hasn't been updated in a while because it doesn't hold a lot of trees. But there is one part of the map that he seemingly just has like circled essentially in a red pen. And it's one tree and it's at the very center of the farm. And
can I use my hoof phone and take a picture?
Yeah, you could. Well, there's no cell phones. So there's only landlines. But you can fold it up and keep the map with
you.
Okay, sure. It actually gives you a sense of where the house is though and gives you a general sense of if the barn is here, you know which direction to go into the forest if you wanted to try and get to that tree. As you go towards the back of the building and begin to clamber up this sort of like, essentially this ladder, do a spot hidden check as you're kind of climbing up.
Oh, you, right?
Yeah, specifically, Sandra.
Sandra has good spot hidden. 40, and my spot hidden after leveling up is 82, so I'm just under half.
So, and just out of curiosity, you do not have a pinecone heart with you right now, do you? I believe two of you have them,
Wait, hold on. You have one.
I've got one, yep.
But you have the dog one. I think I took the wife one.
Yeah,
So you have the wife one.
I don't have one.
So you're like clambering up, and you rolled under a success. What was your?
I rolled under half. I'm 82, and I rolled a 40.
So you're going up, and you notice that it's quite dark up here. The only one light's kind of cascading. The hanging light from the center of the barn is creating dark black shadows that are covering a lot of space here. And you kind of get up to the top and poke your head up. And for the briefest of moments, because you got under half, you see what looks like a thing or like a hunched little like spindly twig thing that's maybe poking its head out behind a box and then very quickly like moves out of vision. And then you hear a little bit of scratching, but then you would have lost sight of it if you didn't get more than half. It just sort of clambers up to the top of the roof and hangs there like a bat. And you can't really see it very well, but it's in the little bit of light, it looks like it maybe has some tattered clothing, but it is faceless.
Burn it with fire, girl. Burn it with fire.
It's faceless, and it is definitely the sort of spindly puppet shape that you've seen before. And it's now hanging from the ceiling. No one else can see it because you have to kind of be in that angle to see it.
Yeah.
And it also, once it stops moving, it goes completely still. So it looks almost like it's just like something in the rafters. It just looks like a piece of the wooden building itself.
You know, this would creep me out when something is like, you know, it moves like a lot and it's all of a sudden completely still.
Yeah.
Kind of like some insects or spiders.
Yeah, it's just that.
It's very unhinged. It's
waiting for it to just goes, wake up again. Like, what's it going to do next?
It just goes,
start? Like you're anticipating it. Like, its next move.
Jumping spiders are tough for me. Because, like,
they jump.
They jump at you.
They jump. You know, they're just scurry. Yeah. They also jump.
Yeah.
I'm going to slowly and discreetly draw my gun.
Mm-hmm.
And call out to it.
What do you say?
Hey, son.
Basically, yeah.
Ruh-roh?
Hey, little guy, are you okay? I see you up there on the roof.
Hey, you should be like, boy. My kid also used to.
You don't
climb
need to hide.
The
you
ceiling hear, like that, you know.
You hear a voice go, "No, you don't. You don't see me."
You know what? Checkmate, I guess. You know, he got you there.
Father would be sad if you saw me, so you don't see me.
Okay, well, I won't tell him that I see you.
Say you'll close your eyes.
Hell no. Are you afraid?
You're a stranger. Father says strangers are bad.
Well,
the classic strangers.
He brought us
bad.
Here to look at the pretty trees. Do you like the trees?
I love the trees.
Why don't you come down and tell us about the trees?
Do a persuasion check.
You should introduce yourself and then you're not strangers anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, good point.
That's what I'm, yeah.
No, I did not succeed at persuasion check.
you can now hear that basically Sandra is speaking to something. But yeah, it's hard to hear its response. So you say that and it goes, but Father would be sad, would be angry. I don't want to upset Father.
Well, your father seems like a really kind guy. My name's Sandra, and I think he told us about you. Is your name Son?
Yes, I'm Son.
Yeah, he's told us all about you.
I also have a nickname, Boy.
Oh, what a great nickname. Very you know, unique, yeah. My friends and I, we all call each other Girl.
But you're a boy.
Yeah, yeah. Yes, Father real. Says sometimes, boy, move the tree.
Lad.
Move the tree?
Tiger.
Yes.
Wow, you move a tree all by yourself?
I help him with the farm.
Wow. So you help him bring in lumber when it's ready to be sold as Christmas trees?
No. Not lumber. Christmas trees. You see, it starts to kind of clamber and scratch its way down the roof towards the floor on the side you're at, because you're also kind of head poking up. You're not fully of course above the the ladder, so it kind of starts to go down, seeing you as less of a threat because you are not attacking it.
So you're saying talking it, to it, but like, is it boy or son?
Well, it's hard to see because it's again still very dark, but as it hits the comes back to down to the floor, it's in the shadows and it does walk kind of out to an area going a little closer to you, and is struck by the light for just a brief moment. Yeah. And you can now kind of see it at an angle too, but just the top half of it, you see what looks like very young, a young child's like sort of clothes, a t-shirt and little shorts, or well, not little shorts, but you know, shorts.
Short shorts.
Short shorts.
Schoolboy shorts.
Schoolboy shorts.
Slut shorts, you know.
He's got like a oddly kind of askew baseball cap, and he's only wearing a t-shirt. It's cold out. You know, you're wearing kind of Peruvian outdoor clothes as well. Just sort of...
Just Siberian descent, you know.
Yeah, exactly. From frost Siberia. Resistance. And as he passes by, you also notice that again, like the mom, his body is a weird amalgamation of shattered and basically tied together bones. So again, the skull of what looks like a human or a who that has a jaw that like flaps.
A human.
Yeah, the jaw kind of flaps unnaturally, attached via string of sort of inner bark that kind of flaps almost like it's trying to replicate speaking. And then it's internal body is just again an arrangement of just pieces of different bones with all these like tree components to fill out the rest of the skeleton. Mm-hmm. It sort of clatters and steps forward, leaving the light in that moment and then going behind a bunch of boxes where it hides. As it does so, it speaks again to you and goes, I help with all the farm. You should buy a tree. You should buy one of Dad's tree. Father loves trees, and he makes the best trees.
This just eases my stomach to imagine him more like Geppetto than a creepy tree. He's just like Geppetto, and he's just making his little, his son.
Yeah.
And it's all good. He's just making a little wooden boy.
Yeah.
I find myself deeply curious what this wooden bone golem's understanding of buying and money and commerce are.
Yeah.
Do we hear him. Any, like you know...
Whoever has a pine... heart can hear the whispers of this thing above. Anyone who doesn't, so Valerie, you just hear splinter, just over and over again.
So you're just listening to 105.4 splinter FM. Static.
Can you ask it, this is like metagaming a little bit, but like I really want to know if we can, like, become, like, the boy. You know what I mean? hypothetically, theoretically.
I mean, if he became that way, we can.
Yeah. No, I know, of course we can. But, like, can you ask him, like, how can we be more...
Yeah, like what... I don't know. Like, how do I become a real boy?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know. If you want to. You don't have
how
to.
How did you become
a boy? Oh, wow. I spotted you there for a second. You really are a real boy, aren't you?
Oh, thank you.
Oh, hey there, sport.
Father is really proud of me. Well, sometimes he looks sad, but mostly he's happy because I'm here to be Sun. And yes, he's an amazing maker. He made me out of previous Sun and tree.
Well, an upgrade, I see.
So we like might be made Sun. Like you as well.
Oh, do you want to be?
Do you think that's what he intends?
I mean, he made Mother and me because he was sad and he wanted his family back. But maybe do you want to join our family?
I don't know. Is that a thing he's done? Does
no.
he make more people?
No, no. He's only made Mother and me, Son. But
his nose grows.
Blood just comes out of his mouth.
What about other people? You said we're strangers. Are there other people that you've seen here?
Oh, no, no, no. I haven't. I was made because Sun saw people, and he wasn't supposed to see people. So new Sun was made.
That's... Oh.
Oh.
And did your father tell you that?
Yes, he said that previous Sun and previous Mother, they were really bad. They didn't believe in the tree farm. They didn't believe in the trees. But we are trees. We believe in him.
So I see. So you haven't met any other people here? Anyone named... Oh, wait, no, that's metagaming. I didn't
know yeah, about you don't know those things. Yeah. Well, anyway, good to know that
so
we're
there's
not
any other people that come and help him.
Oh, I'm not allowed to see them or speak to them.
Why not? I mean...
Yeah, but true.
but you just come here like, and you do know that
you're just trying
here.
To tune yes, into yes. what the fuck is could, happening? You know, who are you talking to?
You could hold the pine cone and like have it by your ear.
I'm trying to make it out.
Sure. Like, give me that, give me that.
They come here and I'm not allowed to speak to them, but sometimes he has guests. He has people who come to help feed the tree.
Do you think he's afraid of them seeing you?
Oh, no, I mean, no,
can
but
he
just doesn't want, he wants to keep me safe, keep Mother safe.
It's the pine and cone.
Wait, this is totally not important right now, but like, you know, can we go back to the whole like feeding the tree part? I'm just like, you know, again, no matter, I'm just like, it's not important.
Fertilizer,
additional
fertilizer.
Lore, you know.
Just fertilizer.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
I guess I'm kind of curious to know what you feed the tree. What do you feed the tree?
Oh, yeah, I've helped feed the tree barrels. There's these wheelbarrows. Wait, I don't know if I should tell you this. Father says the tree's really important. And when they first made it, they already had, it was, they had to protect it and keep it safe.
I hear you. I hear that the tree's really important, but don't you think it's better then that more people know how to take care of it properly?
Oh, you could help take care of the tree?
We might, yeah.
You want to?
We're really interested in what he's doing here at this tree farm. We think it's really impressive.
Speak for yourself.
We should tell Father. you could become employees of the tree farm.
Why don't you run and tell your father what we've just talked about?
But don't.
Oh, yes, I'll tell him. I'll tell him you want to join the tree farm.
Oh,
well, better to not have to fight both of them
the
at
anime,
once,
you know,
right?
Like the anime, like, shock face, like the,
Yeah. Let's go.
All right.
And you see that it, like...
We'll wait here. He asked us to wait here for the demonstration.
Okay, yes. Yes, of course. Oh, and if you want to, get ready to feed... if you want to join the tree farm and you're interested about feeding the tree, there's some boxes below and you could look at them. That's where the food is. And you see that clatters, like scrapes itself just up the ceiling, just climbing above it, jumping from
very
rafter to rafter.
Very ableist of the thing. You know, we can't do that, you know?
And then it like skitters down the front of the door in the light, fully exposed. So now you can see again this amalgamation of just twigs and sticks and bone. And then it skitters out into the forest. You can look at that, like he mentions there's a bunch of things below with food if you want to open that very quickly, because you only have a very short time, because as that happens, you hear outside,
Son, what are you doing? We have guests. You t-
Did they see you? And just yells that loudly outside because he's not too far away. As you go to this like thing for food, I assume you just sort of open up one of the...
Wait. Do we hear the sun thing?
You hear that because
okay,
he's not too far.
When, well, like while you go downstairs, I assume.
Yeah.
You have a gun.
A rifle.
You have a book?
I think we. I think most of us have guns. And we've got Ronald and the driver who also have guns.
Yeah, Ronald is also with you. And also Donald.
I tell you, like the three of you guys, like get your guns like ready in case, you know, but I will try to negotiate. But anyway, you go down.
So Donald puts out his gun. He's like, okay. And the driver
maybe not like this
takes
obviously.
A knife.
Okay, let's like, here, you like hide behind, you know.
You just really can't tell Donald anything.
Donald's like holding his gun.
Everyone draw on the door.
Is pointing at it. The driver calmly pulls a knife out and like nods at you like, okay. But the Donald kind of freaky.
Polishes it with his handkerchief.
Did we clear...
Yeah,
you like did we take bullets?
No, he has bullets.
No, he has bullets. He has a gun. It's not good. It's not great.
And you see that you kind of go a little back from the doorway. I assume one of you just goes to open up, or I think the driver will go. The driver will.
You were gonna go.
Oh yeah, do you want to open up, Sandra? The
because we don't know. You are the only one who knows about the whole thing.
You slide down. You go over. You open these like heavy boxes.
Well, this is apparently where the tree food is.
The lids. As you open up the boxes, you see that, with relief somewhat, the boxes are not filled with like dead
human flesh.
But what they are filled with is a bunch of raw meat, and it's like full animals in chunks. Like there's a Whoville beast, just like in a
but it's not rotting. Is it fresh?
So they recently like stocked it.
It got what it wanted.
It's a bunch of raw meat. From just
so not the tree doesn't want to eat. Excuse me, the tree doesn't want to eat like rotten food.
No,
like,
but usually I'm thinking like it's decomposing, right? And normal
it
trees want
rotten
want,
food.
Yeah, they want mulch.
Not
they
this
want,
one. Yeah. this one wants the real.
This thing. One's carnivorous.
Yeah, it's carnivorous. You're like, oh shit! As you do that, you see the Robbie rushes in. His son is like behind him, so like basically is hiding behind his body as he runs in, and he's got an axe. He sees that some of you have weapons, and he's like, oh, okay, just
wait, hold on.
What's with the axe?
I was sent. We actually were sent by what was the assistant's name? I forgot the two names. I'm sorry, you'll have to.
There was one that was Audrey, and then the other one was Mavis.
Mavis was the one who came. She was from Audrey, right?
Like Mavis
she
was her... had a rep was a representative. And when you say, if you were to say Mavis, then probably...
I think I'll say Mavis, yeah. She's the one who actually comes, right?
Yeah. And then okay, Audrey's the one he just calls and talks to.
Yeah, yeah. So I'll be like, Mavis sent us. And...
As you say Mavis...
Okay.
If you gave them their full name, because it's listed a little bit... I should say Mavis.
I'll say Mavis.
Do a history... I guess it'd be history check for... Specifically for Purdy.
Well, let me see what I can do.
Okay, hold on. It's gotta be super low. Oh no, it's good. It's good.
This is just a knowledge.
I forgot about this. This is
your memory as well in this case.
Yeah, this is actually a good one. I got it down to the whatever second half.
Okay, you're thinking about when they say Mavis. You're also kind of thinking about people you know. You know of a Mavis, and with the stuff that's been happening, that's kind of talking about your father. You know, the butler that you met, who worked for your father, who killed themselves. Your brain goes, do I know a Mavis? Do I know a Mavis? And you do.
I know a Mavis.
Yeah. There's a Mavis Beacon Whovidia, who is the manager of the flagship Santa's Little Helper department store. You know her because she's deeply in love with your father. It's obvious. And she is.
She makes it known.
She's been trying to sleep with him for years.
Did she
trying without success?
Well, your father is married, so technically, right.
Hasn't
has
this
not
come
been,
up once already?
Yeah, I think it's been. I think you actually have had this.
Look, this we know our next.
You know Mavis.
We
before.
Know our next destination.
well, I mean, I made a Mavis Beacon reference earlier when I said they were teaching the tree to type. I didn't realize her name was actually Mavis Beacon.
There is a Mavis, and her name is literally Mavis Beacon.
but anyway, I say.
You say
Mavis
that.
Actually sent us for like a trial inspection. You know, we were actually role playing customers because we wanted to see how well you present, you know.
We're secret shoppers.
Yeah.
We're secret shoppers and Mavis Bacon sent us.
Sure,
Mavis Bacon sent us?
Okay. I call her Bacon because I just think she's a...
Don't worry.
She's such a little ham. She's such a sweet...
We know about your little project. Ham. And I point towards the kid. It's like, look, I figure... like
she's not trying to bang like, my dad.
I'm just seeing the mom. I'm like, okay, there's probably the same thing as the kid, yeah. You know? So I'd be like...
Okay, so roll a persuasion check.
Yes. Okay, please.
Thank God you're doing that.
Yes.
Whoa.
Yo, it's like almost the best one. Because mine is 78. What did you get? 17.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
Like 68. No, I think it's... Wait, because if your thing, stat increases, the other two also increase by a percentage. So yes.
Maybe I would have gotten down to the...
The best, yeah, yeah. But anyway, it's like either right the best one or like right above
pretty
it. But like,
damn
anyway,
good.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
You see that his face softens and he goes, oh, you're... Okay, so you're from the investors, which means you're not going to... Okay, yeah, no, I was trying some stuff out because, you know,
he starts to kind of get a little teary-eyed.
Well, when I told them that we were doing this whole investment thing, they, you know, they didn't really support me initially, and I had to make sure that they would support.
Of course.
So he's crying, but he's like, but I... So I'm just glad to hear the investors are here.
Listen, it's a good year. The investors are actually happy, but...
You meet my son? This is son.
Oh, yeah.
I wish the podcast could capture the facial expressions Cap does with this character.
This guy's so desperately, like, he's like... I don't know. He's in deep pain.
Yes.
But he's also like the most hopeful dude I've ever seen in my life at the same time.
He's desperately clinging to something. He's
listen, holding on to hope. We don't have time for familiar matters right now. He wasn't forgotten.
Yeah.
We came here because even though the investors are somewhat satisfied with the quarterly results of their investment, but
I've gotten many different pine cones. From the tree.
Yes, yes.
I tried the rituals to make sure that they were... Well, I did it on a dog first.
Of course. Right. And meats, of course. We, you know, we know everything. But
make sure they were working.
We wanted to inspect the tree. We want to see if it's okay. And, you know, obviously...
Do you have another offering?
Well, we also heard that there were 3 pine cones missing.
What?
Yes, there's unaccounted for.
Missing pine cones. Wow. Okay, well, I just harvested one, and I made wife a while ago. But I mean, I brought back my wife. I brought her back.
Of course.
and that was with one of the.
I know I'm supposed to keep them here, and as long as I didn't damage them, it was okay that I had them here, and I could, you know, make sure they worked.
Right. Right.
Filled with whatever you wanted from them.
Who's good at math here?
I'm pretty good at it.
Yeah, so our financial analyst here.
Is it accounting?
Accounting.
Oh fuck! No, I'm not good at that. I thought it was. I think it's history.
I'm the accountant. Okay.
Yeah, you're the accountant.
Wait.
Yeah. You're the accountant.
Okay. As a investment financial accountant advisor, I was actually sent here.
Why are you dressed like a nun?
Listen, the costume department thought that nuns are like really into trees and. I guess they are, so I didn't pick this.
I'm just so glad that the investors showed up because it's been a bit. And I know I'm doing all the proper stuff to keep the tree okay. And
there might be if tonight goes smoothly, you will get an end of the year bonus.
Okay, but last time you told me that there Mavis came and said that they'd have trees in all the Santa's little helpers this Christmas, and there's less than a week, and I haven't gotten an order yet.
It's coming. No, your big year
Mavis
will be...
had a chat, and there were some unprecedented circumstances. It's all been cleared.
Okay.
The reason why we're here is because after this inspection, we're going to green light the project, and you're going to get all of the orders you
We want to make
handle.
Sure everything's in perfect order so that you when see. We place the order, that it will
everything.
Be...
needs to go smoothly.
He grabs his son, in quotations, and he just starts bawling. He has a full-on breakdown. He starts crying. He's like, it's a good year. It's a good year, son. It's finally happening. And you see that the wicker, or this sort of pine puppet, the only people can hear him against being Sandra and Purdy, goes, Oh, Father, that's so great. Father, we're gonna have a celebration.
Splinter, Splinter.
Yeah.
I've changed my mind. I do want to kill him. I don't want him to have to face the letdown.
That's
of this
what
not
I'm saying. This guy has his whole life is ruined. Yeah. Completely. And I don't think he has
anything. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if he came to the realization
that
he
can't even run away to Maldives. There's only like pine trees. Sorry, there's only like palm trees there. You know what I mean? His personal hell. Anyway.
Also, because he's trapped on a maybe melting snowflake.
Yeah. But literally, like what you're saying, this person, if he found out he had wasted everything, like he's lost everything.
Well,
yeah.
And I don't know, Macy. Like, was he the cause of his own family's death?
So you don't know. No one's asked him.
Yeah.
I know.
So like, I'm just. This guy is just, if he realizes it's.
Well, the son told us that the former son was bad.
The mom died first,
saw
apparently.
The people and
You don't know like why
they
were bad.
The mom died first, and we don't know how long the kid was alive before he also succumbed to.
We don't know why they were bad, but we have cause to believe that their death and conversion into wood golems was punitive and undertaken by him.
Yes. Or the other option is accidental, which would be weird.
I don't know about that. Anyway, so...
Well, I don't know. Is he, like, control of his own faculties at all
like,
times?
I want
does he go into, like, a fugue?
The tree.
he looks at you, and he's just kind of, like, now collecting himself a little bit, holding, you know, hugging his weird collection of bones and sticks that he calls his son, goes, okay, inspection time. He wipes his eyes. Okay. Anyone like some pine tea?
I actually had a great big mug of pine tea before I came.
Okay.
I'm allergic to liquid.
And another one after I came, just to relax.
Okay.
I'm all. My belly's all full from the last one.
Okay. More for me then.
How the fuck does he drink that?
Okay, I'm fine. I'm okay. We're good.
Does it feel better when you take the tea?
Yep. I stop feeling all the feelings in my body.
Mm-hmm. We should just drown him in this.
Barrels of it.
I can start walking because I you know, since Mavis told us, you know, we know where it is, but like we want you to.
Okay.
Obviously, yeah.
You think if we got him sober, he would just like come to the most sad realization of everything that's happened.
He looks at son and he says, "Okay, son, can you go get wife and just make sure that she's ready to celebrate? We're gonna pop a big thing of pine tea."
No. Wife will be so happy.
I definitely don't have her heart in my purse.
Listen, I want the kid to come with us. You know, you can tell the wife later. This is not urgent. However, this visit is urgent. We have a lot of important company meetings after.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, we want everyone to...
It's pressing.
Oh, one thing you're going to have to learn in the company, Robbie, is that wife is low priority in the company.
I guess. Yeah. Anyways, very excited.
your family means nothing to us. As you know.
Yeah. You know that you're going to celebrate. I was going to ask because Mavis told me maybe one day I'd be able to go into the cabaret with everyone.
Of course.
Okay. That's
of
great.
Course, yes.
I'm excited. Follow me. Make sure we just go this way. You see that
he grabs like a bucket and he just fills it with meat from the sort of this. Case of just sort of who beast meat. He goes,
I will even buy you the premium edition of JR who wins Game of Trees book, you know, just as a personal
Bible. Yeah, okay.
Lord of the Pine.
Here you go. here's one thing of meat for you and one thing of meat for you. And one
I grab the
meat for you. And son, you hold this thing of meat and you're going to follow dad when we're going to feed as we go. Okay, whenever a big root comes towards you, just feed it some chunk of meat.
Well, good to fucking know. Obviously, you know, and everyone knows that.
Yeah, that it's just so you don't have to like, because otherwise they'll be looking
for
a little snack.
he's actually new. He's like a new worker? Intern. He's an intern.
Yeah.
She's an intern.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's good to remind her about Sure. So the meats.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So follow me, everyone. And you see, he keeps his son close as he begins to guide you into the forest, just straight through all the trees. Every so often, you are going through pastures of trees, and a root kind of snakes its way towards you. He just takes a chunk of meat and throws it towards it. It grabs the meat.
Yeah, and the kid is holding a barrel, right?
The kid's also holding a meat.
No, a meat thing. Or a barrel of meat, like the kid.
Like a bucket.
They've all got a bucket. Buckets. Sure. Yeah.
And just sort of throwing it where necessary. It takes you like maybe 15, 20 minutes to get to where he's trying to bring you.
Mm-hmm.
And as he brings you to it, my question is, did you want to grab anything on the way out of the... I mean, granted, it'd look weird if you grabbed like a weapon.
We have guns.
Yeah.
And I think before he leaves, I would ask him to like step aside for us to just kind of have like a little like internal whatever.
Yeah.
And while he's aside, I would tell you guys to like, when we get there, you know, I'll make a command, like I don't know, like coconut or something.
Coconut.
And then at the command, you shoot him. No, fair. like I'm not kidding.
Absolutely,
like,
fair.
This man, if something gets fed to that tree, it will be his body. Yeah. I'm not even kidding. That's like fair. Just in case. I'm not saying we'll do it. I'm just saying, you know, I'm a woman of God. You know, you can trust me. Anyway,
we need a safety word.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coconut.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because we established he hates pumpkins.
Coconut. As you continue walking,
this is actually unrelated.
You like get that information before you keep moving.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
You the walk meats, through the woods.
We just throw fucking meat around.
And you get to the edge of a clearing. At this clearing, you see an open space that is not as densely packed as the other tree farm area around it. And these trees.
It's a hegemon tree, you know, it's monopolizing the market in the area.
In a way. Around it, in this circular clearing, you see a few things that are immediately disturbing and odd for you. And I will probably require a sanity check as you enter the space.
Yeah, okay.
First of all, do your sanity check and then I'll tell you what you see.
F5. I'm like,
you're fine.
I'm like, literally, I'm like, I've seen this before, on my toilet, you know.
You've definitely not seen this, but
oh, fuck.
Okay.
Oh, shit. 97. Oh,
so that's
boy.
A fail. So that's, I'm gonna say
it's okay. He's an intern, he never seen this. Like, you know, it's not my first rodeo, but
it would have been a D6, but I'm gonna say it's a D8 in this case of sanity
against my Christmas spirit.
Yeah. I missed it. I got 60. Well, sanity 60 for me.
Yeah,
right?
So it's going to be a D4 if you fail, but if you super fail, D8.
What's a super fail?
Seven, so I have an 89 five or higher. Spirit.
Oh, boy.
So 96 or higher. So what was your total against Andrew for Christmas spirit after your loss of 7?
89.
Okay, you're losing some.
I only get a loss of 2.
Okay, loss of 2, not too bad. What's your sanity at?
I'm at 81.
Okay. So you get towards this clearing and you see a massive tree. The tree is about maybe a couple meters higher than the trees around it. And it is immediately disturbing because it is covered in needles that are dripping with viscous red liquid. You don't know where the liquid's coming from. It seemingly is just bleeding from the tree. And it is creating this pool of dark sort of water.
Corn syrup.
Yeah, something.
Corn syrup and dye. I know how it's done.
And you see roots kind of coming out of the tree in a weird net or mess that goes out from the circle. These roots go underground, but they also interlace themselves around what appear to be these mounds. And in these mounds, you see 7 whose faces, their heads, just buried in their bodies were buried in the dirt up to their necks, and growing through their skulls, the roots have basically built holes and wrapped themselves around their screaming faces. They are also perpetually bleeding from these wounds, somehow drenched in blood.
Can we talk to them?
They're dead, but they're
kind of, yeah.
So a little hard to do that. But the tree is sort of swaying and moving in a breeze that isn't there, or a bunch of roots come towards Robbie, and Robbie like gives some more meat, and the roots just retreat and pull it underground, and it slows its sway a little bit after receiving some more food. On its like outsides, you notice now that it has decorations, but the decorations are the internal organs and viscera of the seven who's around them that are basically decked the halls, so to speak, on this monstrous Christmas tree. The only light that's revealing this is a lantern light that was carried by Robbie. So his light is illuminating the clearing, but otherwise there's no light here. It's completely pitch black because it is nighttime. Just the sort of moonlight, I guess the moonlight's producing some light here to reveal the tree as well, but it's very limited visibility otherwise without this lantern. He turns to you and he goes, patting Sun's head as he does so, and goes, "So here you go. Your lovely tree. I've been watering it every day with blood, and I've been feeding it every other day with meat, and I've been making sure that the roots stay on the property. They've only been like pulling small animals in and stuff like that, so it's not causing too much of a ruckus. And I just hope you
well. They
like
actually
it.
Pulled my butler's car actually, so it's pretty convenient. Yeah.
Oh dear. Okay. I'm so sorry. It's he looks okay. at the driver, and the driver's like, "Yep." That Donald is like shakily reaching for his gun, but he's not pulling it yet. He's just like,
"Don't shoot the tree. You'll just like, make it angry."
Yeah.
Permanently edged. Yeah. Anyway.
Donald dear, bullets don't hurt the trees.
How do you know it's bleeding?
Well, it's still made of wood
and blood.
Okay, but
if it's bleeding right now and it's not hurting,
so what
do really
we do?
Think that
Wait, hold on, guys.
Bleeding more will hurt it?
Fuck. Sort of under his breath.
Is
like,
there like a center to it? Like, I don't know, like some organ or so. It's just like regular tree. Like, you know, is there like a,
you don't see anything because it's got very
dark.
Bushy. Yeah. Well, it's also, it's got a tree sort of branches all around
True.
It. So its actual trunk is hidden.
Really?
Well, because it's a Christmas tree, so even though it's large, it's meant to go towards the base. Like
true,
they haven't
true. No,
cleared
you're right,
away
you're right.
Any of those. At its top and glinting in the moonlight, there is like a star, but the star isn't a star. It is a beating heart.
Mm-hmm, yeah, okay. It's going to be hard to. So I look at you and I'm like, can you like, I don't know, open your book or do something like, you know. This is not looking good. We're in the middle of this shit.
So you just want me to open my book and see if there's anything about trees?
No, maybe
with hearts.
You get like it's a raven moment. I don't know. Some like.
That's not really how it works. It's sort of like when I'm in a panic and we need to get out of somewhere.
And you're not in a panic?
Or, no, if we're like.
You want me
like
to.
Like life or death or something. And then I go.
I'll take your meat off and then we'll see if you're in a panic.
So this is what I did and it's perfect.
How did you achieve such a
well? You brought the seven sacrifices, and you dug them. I didn't kill them technically. I let you bury them in the ground around the tree.
Yes, of course, I remember.
And then you enchanted with this book, and it the roots went in.
But it was us and who else though?
I didn't see anyone's faces. I just know Mavis. I know Mavis came. Because Mavis was the representative, and then a bunch of other people, and they had their faces covered.
The other investors.
There was was one issue. Was the So when we were reading in the book, the ritualist, you know, the book readee, as I may, was dyslexic, and we later uncovered that seven is not the correct number. The correct number is eight.
Oh no! Well, okay. Well, we got another. We got to get dyslexic. Another sacrifice. We could
wait, and I have a mission for you.
Never was okay. One.
What's the mission?
I need you to, you know, go there.
Me?
And yes, it has to be you.
But I've already sacrificed so much, and you said this is going to be my good year.
And this will be your son. will like, your can't, family can't even. Will and you will reunite with them. Do you think
turn
those,
around.
You no. think we those seven people are dead? Oh hell no, they're in debt. They're just resting.
They're not dead.
They no, they're dead right now. You start
pitching the afterlife.
They are dead right now, but they will be reborn. You know, it's the eight saints. We're missing the eighth. It's either it's eight or it's zero saints, you know? There's no seven.
Wait. So you're saying that I locked my wife and son in a room because they saw your people come into my farm. And you said it would be good that I brought it back and it was fine and I'd have a good year.
Well, your son is back and aren't you happy? Isn't he happy? Boy, are you happy?
I'm so happy, Father. Everything's perfect. Look at how pretty the tree is. I can feel its blood coursing through my veins that I don't have.
But you're wrong, kiddo. Not everything is perfect. Your dad is not perfect.
Someone's translating this for you because you didn't.
Sorry. Okay, whatever. Whatever. I don't know. I'm sorry. My bad. Like,
But you see that asking to sacrifice himself is like, he really, and this is where psychoanalysis comes in. So you can roll to see like,
sure, you know what? Okay.
What you get.
Yeah, that's
but
fair.
But you
that's
may
fair.
Pick out something here that like,
Okay.
The straw that broke the camel's back, though. Like, this guy's put everything into. Yeah.
Okay, so look, I rolled a 28, and minus 83 and 37 is the middle one. So it's below 37.
So what you get from that is you, when he says, I put my family in a room after they saw
he
your people
he locked
come
them away.
In.
Yeah,
you remember the locked room, and you remember that. So then it was like, you now get what may have, a little bit more of his mental state, what
true,
may have happened.
True.
His son and probably wife noticed something weird was happening with the investors.
Yeah.
He took it on initially, probably to accept the seven sacrifices. It was like, it's fine. It's for the farm. I'm so desperate. I will let seven people die. So not a great guy, but he was desperate. Then.
Well, and he probably didn't know where they, you know.
Yeah. He didn't really know what he was signing up for. It happens. Then he locks his, basically has a mental breakdown, locks his family in the room. They die of neglect because he's going crazy.
He doesn't realize how much time's passing and he's like out there and tending the trees.
Yeah, and he's drinking the tea. Which is from the tree, which is causing problems. He's not feeling anything. Right. He's not feeling hunger. He's losing track of time. And then he notices they're dead. He realizes that they're dead. He's scared. And in order to assuage him, maybe to calm him down, this group you're tending to be, the cult maybe tells them how to like bring him back and he builds them again. But under all of that is this idea that just right around the corner, just over the horizon, they're going to make money again.
So
and
you,
then the cult's going to give him everything he needs.
It'll be all worth it.
It'll be all worth it. Okay, fine.
Okay, hold on.
And he's made the perfect family, but killing himself would mean he literally... Everything he did is just a failure.
He
just looks desperate.
Okay, go ahead.
Just a thought. Did we ever stop to see if we can recognize the seven?
Oh, yeah, you could try to look at the heads, but it'd be a little hard from where you are without
going
towards
them. It's also
kind
of dark,
them.
Actually.
Yeah, you only have moonlight and your lantern.
Yeah, okay, never mind.
Okay, so what I want to do is I will like 180 right now. It's risky, but we'll try something. You know, if that fails, we can always coconut, you know. So I will look at him and I'll be like, you know, what's his name? Sorry, I'm like...
Robbie.
You're right. This is kind of fucked up. And I'm sorry. Like, you know, thinking about this, Mavis, like when she gave me your file and like I read through it, I know what sacrifice you did. As you said, you locked them up and... Even though they're better now.
It was an accident.
I know. It wasn't my fault. And, you know, and should them seeing this be punished by death? I feel like it's... I don't actually know if Mavis knows what she's talking about. I don't actually know if I agree with her at this point, you know?
What do you mean?
Well, maybe we should come to the investors, all of us, with you, like, you know, and we can talk to them and tell them that they are wrong, and they shouldn't have you. Maybe we can sacrifice Mavis, you know what, for making you go through all of this.
I don't want to hurt anyone.
No, of course not.
But Robbie,
we have to complete what's been started.
You started this.
In order for you to have your good year and for us to get our return.
Yeah.
And so we have to move forward. But at the same time, we think there might be another alternative solution.
Okay.
Particularly if we have, if we're able to do a mass harvest, perhaps, of the pine cones.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe even before they're all ready, we can get them. And then hopefully we can maybe fast track the rest of our plan here. Otherwise, we have to possibly sacrifice another soul and then perpetuate this maybe even another year. So we can just get what we've already grown and procured, and we can see if that will satisfy the board.
Yeah, we need to collect the tree.
It's ready.
It's ready.
This is the tree. It's ready.
Okay. So I was given a little document that would tell me how to do it, and Boy, go get the document, and axes. We'll need axes. Are any of you, what's the word? You have to, I need a special.
Can I ask the boy to leave the lantern?
Leave the lantern. Mm-hmm. Boy can see in the dark perfectly well. It's really amazing what he can do. So go get the document.
It's worrying, but potentially useful.
And the axes and the chainsaw and the blood. We need the special blood. So get that one, and we'll cover everything, all the weapons, and then we'll harvest the tree. But it's a hard thing. They said that they normally need a big team and people with a special equipment. But if we do it all together, then we could show them that I am doing well.
Of course.
And we did do a good job.
We'll show them what a great job we're doing.
We'll show Mavis.
He just starts crying.
Yeah. I wanna sell a Christmas tree.